Good morning, everyone. I will sing of the goodness of God. What a great way to start a Sunday morning to gather. I had to thank Monica because I chose the lessons for our service today based on my personal experience of kind of the last 3 months of my life have been all with sheep. And I thought there had to be a lesson. There had to be a sermon in watching these sheep for the last few months. And so Monica picked just the greatest music to start our service off today. And we'll continue our service with our lessons from Scripture.
Our first lesson is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And this should be familiar. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servants, or your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servants, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. That ends the first. The second reading is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that you, at last, you renewed your concerns for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Here ends the second reading.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel today is from John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the fathers know me, Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Here ends the reading of the gospel. You may be seated. And I'm sorry to disappoint all of you. I do not have a joke for you to begin this morning. I was so intent on the message and on the readings that I just frankly forgot about it. Mike kind of challenged me a number of months ago in a sermon, and one of the references was to sheep, and he said, "Sweet, you should do a sermon about sheep sometime." And we started lambing on the 10th of February, give or take, finished lambing on the 1st of April. And so we've been dealing with groups of sheep, whether they're adult sheep, raising little ones, little groups. In fact, yesterday we spent almost all day having our lambs sheared. We sheared 290 lambs in about 4 or 5 hours with three guys shearing and a whole bunch of help to help. So sheep have been kind of on the brain here for the last few months. I hate to disappoint Marcy, I don't have my cob of corn. I really don't have any corn to talk about today, which has been my shtick ever since I started doing some of these. So you'll have to forgive me the lack of corn in my sermon today. Through spring, let me back up just a little bit. Normally when I've done sermons before, I've taken the prescribed lectionary texts for that Sunday, and I've been able to look up and research using sermons that other people have written and gotten most of my ideas and the cohesion from those. This is more just what I know. They happen to be some of my favorite Bible passages as well. But I've been bouncing around in the tractor through these last 3 months, ever since Mike talked to me about doing this, and thinking about, where is the lesson in the sheep? Where is the lesson? Because the Bible is full of references to sheep. Sheep were such a big part of Middle Eastern culture. I mean, very little of the land there in Palestine was suitable for farming. Just the valleys, the flatter bottoms of the valleys. The hills were all suited for pasture, and so that's where most of the people who lived in that time and in that place, much like our American West is today, it's much more suited to grazing than to farming. And so sheep were part of a culture. You could actually measure a person's wealth by the number of sheep that they had. And so the Bible is full of references to sheep, both as measures of value and as sacrifice. In so many of the Leviticus readings or texts, a lamb, a spotless lamb, was a specified sacrifice for sin. And so the Bible is full of references to sheep, and then seeing sheep every day for a while, it all started to kind of come together with some of these readings that we've had today. As followers of Christ, as Christians, we call Jesus the Good Shepherd. How many Good Shepherd Lutheran churches do you suppose there are in this country? There's a lot. And it's because it's a common theme. I grew up going to church at Our Redeemer's in Benson, and in the front of that church, there's a 20-foot-tall mosaic of Jesus as a shepherd, holding a lamb in his bosom and having sheep in different postures around his feet. So this has been part of my life since I was really small. And so what I'm going to offer you to this morning, I think, are some observations of sheep behavior, and then probably a lot of parallels to human behavior, because so many times we humans act like sheep. So I wasn't able to attend the Bible study on Tuesday, and I can imagine you folks that did trying to fit together these different readings that come from such different places, and I hope I can connect them for you in just a few minutes here this morning. There's a famous preacher from Dallas who likes to put together sermons with 3 points, and each point starts with the same letter. And by golly, when I was bouncing around in the tractor, that's the way this sermon came together today. So I have 3 points. They all start with P. P, my first point, is protection. In our gospel, Jesus refers to the sheepfold as a place where the sheep are safe and enclosed in. And in his time, those sheepfolds would have been built out of stone walls. They would have been high enough to keep the sheep in, and they would have protected the sheep from wild animals and from, hopefully, from thieves that would have gotten in and stolen, like he references in his message to the Pharisees. There's an expression in the country about building fences, and you're supposed to build your fence horse high, bull strong, and lamb tight. And I can tell you from experience that if a fence won't hold water, it probably won't hold lambs. They have nothing better to do than to look for that opening in that fence all day and then find a way to get stuck on the other side or the wrong side. We use hog panels for places where we're going to have sheep in a confined area, and we use electric fences when we put them on pasture or for bigger distances. Jesus talks about wolves and thieves. We have coyotes and other shepherds. We haven't, fortunately, had packs of neighborhood dogs come in and tear up sheep and ruin flocks. Any number of things can hurt, especially lambs. Lambs are, you know, they're vulnerable when they're born. They have no survival instinct of their own. They need to be cared for by their mothers, by the ewes, and by the shepherds. You know what? Human children are very much the same. Babies need special care. They can't be treated the same way adults are. So recognizing our need to be protected, God gave us his law. And that's where the reading from Exodus comes from. God gave us fences. He gave us, if you look at it this way, a 10-wire hot electric fence to keep us in, not only to keep us in, but to keep the thieves and the wolves and the things that want to steal, kill, and destroy out. That hot fence is for our protection. And it's not to ruin our fun or to take away our pleasure in life, but it's for our protection. In fact, being inside that fence sets us free. It sets us free from the burdens of sin, and it sets us free from the consequences of sin. Because even if, and we all sin, there are always consequences for that sin. Have you ever known someone who could tie a knot in a cherry stem with their tongue, keeping it in their mouth? I swear that lambs can untie any knot made with twine with their tongues while you're even looking at them. They are so capable of defeating our best efforts at fencing them. And you know what? People are just like that too. We just always are looking. We're always pushing. We're always saying, well, say, that fourth hot wire, that's not important for me. Or that tenth hot wire, I can get by with a little covet. That isn't going to hurt anybody or anything. We had a sheep yesterday, just turned out to pasture, who 10 acres of grass out here, but the grass she wanted was on that side of the fence right there. And she pushed under that bar, and she pushed until she was stuck. And she couldn't go forward or backwards. And if Vicky had not seen her, our shepherd, and rescued her, she would have perished there because she had pushed herself in so tight that she couldn't do it. And how many people find themselves in those situations where they pushed into a situation that they can't handle and can no longer control, and they need rescuing? Fortunately, we have a shepherd who will come and rescue us. He will go so far, as he says in the gospel, to lay down his life in exchange for ours. And that's pretty cool. Fortunately, we have a good God. And he offers us a special way back through the fence if we've pushed away. Because we all do. We've all pushed. We've all violated one of these fence hot wires. But he has provided a gate back inside the fence through confession and repentance. He is the gate. And in Luke chapter 15, if I could find it quick, here's another one of Jesus' promises. So Jesus used this illustration. If you had 100 sheep, and one of them strayed away and was lost in the wilderness, wouldn't you leave the 99 others to go and search for the lost one until you found it? And then you would joyfully carry it home on your shoulders. When you arrived, you would call together your friends and neighbors to rejoice with you because your lost sheep was found. In the same way, heaven will be happier over one lost sinner who returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So Jesus, we know his voice. He calls to us, and he calls to us individually, corporately as well. But Jesus knows your name, and he's calling you. And he will come looking for you if you've strayed. Okay, the second P of my message today is about provision. A good shepherd provides for the flock. And this is where, Marcy, I do get to talk about corn a little bit. Because sheep love corn. In fact, corn is the sheep's addictive drug of choice. And actually, when we first start feeding lambs grain, we have to vaccinate them for overeating disease, it's called. We have to give them two shots 2 weeks apart to keep them from suffering the ill effects of eating too much corn too fast. As you know, as we feed corn, and this is, I often say, sheep are the only animals that will kill you for a kernel of corn. You can lead a flock of sheep with a half a bucket of corn miles and miles, and they will follow you because they love it. And as we feed corn, we have bunks, and Vicky and I will take the buckets and we'll go pour along to spread it out so that everybody has a place to eat. We always plan for enough feed of bunk space. And as we feed corn, the strong ewes will get to that bunk first, and they will push everybody else out of the way, and then the weaker ones, and they'll all fill in until the bunk. And what will happen then, after just a minute, is the strong ones will decide there's probably a better spot down over there, and they'll pull out of their spot, corn probably still pouring out of their mouth, and they'll run and look for some place better. And oftentimes when this happens, especially at lambing time, little ones that get in the way will get trampled. And I wish I had the picture to show you, but we had one. We had a lamb whose leg got broken during the crush of feeding ewes, and fortunately we have a veterinarian on staff in our sheep operation, and Paul set that leg, and that leg was in a cast for 6 weeks. And after 6 weeks, he cut the cast off, and when we ran all those sheep through the chute yesterday, you could not tell which one had had the broken leg. But again, there are lots of parallels to human behavior here. The problem isn't that we aren't being provided for or our provision. It's our desire. It's the thief of happiness. It's greed. It's violating that 10th commandment. It's coveting what other people have. When we violate that 10th commandment, our life and our joy get corroded. In fact, how much damage has been done in human history and by people who envy or want what someone else has, covet what someone else has. You know, even in today, in Ukraine, we still have an issue with people who want what someone else has. And what happens when we don't trust our shepherd to provide what we need? There's a story that goes around in my industry about a land auction where two gentlemen are bidding on a piece of real estate. One is an old, well-established farmer, and another one is a younger guy just trying to get going. And the bidding goes up and up and up, and finally the old man bids, and the younger man's banker says, "You can't bid anymore." And the old man gets the land. And the young man is understandably bitter, and he goes up to the old guy, and after the auction, he says, "Well, what do you want to do? Do you want to farm the whole county?" And the old guy says, "Well, no, I don't. I just want to farm what touches mine." And when you think about that, we have to wonder, why doesn't he trust the provision of what he already has, what God has already provided him, and why is his desire for more and more and more, and what corrosive effect is that having on his community, on reducing opportunity for the younger people? How many times have we prayed, "Give us, Lord, our daily bread"? How many times has God let us down? Obviously, he's never let me down. Perhaps in our corporate prayer time, we could add, "Give our brothers and sisters their daily bread." So how do we learn to trust in our shepherd for his provision? In our second lesson, Paul gives us the answer. He's learned to be content, to be satisfied with what he has. He's learned to exist beyond his physical needs and to see Jesus as his true source. And how did he get this way? It's not sheep-like or even basic human nature, but it was with prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Maybe thanksgiving is the key here to lift us up from sheep life to a life that is full and rich and helps feed others. Many of you probably heard Joyce Meyer read John 10:10 from the Amplified Bible. And it's so, the second half of the verse, "I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance, to the full, pressed down, shaken together until it overflows." That's what we want for our life. We want a life that overflows into the lives of the people around us. One more thing about this. It's been said that hurting people hurt people, but Jesus can redeem even our worst wounds and injuries. Like the lamb with the broken leg, trampled by others during the rush, its leg cast and set by the shepherd, Jesus can do the same for you. And all you have to do is let him. And I have to remind myself of that every day. And as you've probably heard me read before, I'm going to read from Psalm 65, starting with verse 9. Because this is so appropriate for my line of work and for what I love to do. You take care of the earth and water it, making it rich and fertile. The rivers of God will not run dry. They provide a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it so. You drench the plowed ground with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless its abundant crops. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The wilderness becomes a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep, and the valleys are carpeted with grain. They all shout and sing for joy. So our third P is, of course, peace. What Paul calls the peace that transcends understanding. Growing up Lutheran, it was always the peace that passes all understanding. Familiar from way, way back. Paul knew that peace couldn't come from circumstances, from physical environment, that only connection with the source, the shepherd, can bring that. I love the name of this church, Shalom. This is what Paul would have called peace, this Shalom, the peace that passes understanding, the wholeness, completeness, more than just the absence of conflict or struggle, a return to balance, to justice, and to complete equality. These ideas, peace, balance, they are not instinctive. They are not part of a sheep mindset. They set humans apart from animals. God created us for relationship with him and with each other. Sheep are flock animals. Usually where one goes, the rest follow. You know, and people are a lot like that too. Where one does good, it's easier for the rest of us to do it. Conversely, when we see someone sin, especially someone we admire or look up to, we can seem to think that we can escape the consequences of sin. But Jesus, he is the great disruptor. He came to us, to each one of us, to have a personal relationship with him. He came to break the old ways and to give us freedom from anxiety, fear of not having enough, and finally the promise of peace, not only here on earth, but forever in heaven. Now, I'd like to just move right to our confession because it's based on the Shepherd David's 23rd Psalm, and it says it better than any words that I could ever write or read. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father and his divine protection, provision, and peace. So if you would stand and do our confession together with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Oh God, forgive us. How long will we continue to make our own paths rather than follow yours? Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Oh God, have mercy. You are faithful, yet we so often embrace fear instead of trust. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thank you, God, for protection and correction. Forgive us for the ways in which we have hurt your children. Help us forgive those who have hurt us. Most merciful God, forgive us for the ways we have hurt you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long, because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.